Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Julia Honeybrew. You're with Talk TV. Now, the government's flagship Rwanda bill returns to the House of Commons today. Could be law by Friday. This comes as leaked Home Office documents reveal that the scheme could cost the taxpayer nearly £5 billion and that more countries, including lovely Costa Rica, have been approached to accept migrant asylum seekers, but no takers so far. Well, joining me to discuss this and other big events in the news, obviously, Sir Ian Duncan-Smith, Tory MP, of course, and former Conservative Party leader. Good morning to you, Sir Ian.
Morning, Julian.
Thank you for joining us. I want to get on to Rwanda, indeed also your former job dealing with benefits as well. But first up, let's talk about Iran briefly, if we can. Do you think that Israel has the right to retaliate against that Iranian onslaught of drone and missile attacks?
Yes, certainly. I think Israel will have to make a decision about that. But they are a sovereign state. They have an elected government, a democracy and a judiciary that is independent. So they have the right to decide what to do when under attack by a state like Iran. And I think they will reach that conclusion, whether it's immediate or over a period of time or whatever. Bear in mind that also Iran is busy, close to developing now nuclear weapons, which would be an utter disaster. And the attempt by the West to have an emollient policy towards Iran in the hope that they wouldn't develop nuclear weapons has been a total disaster in the British government, I'm afraid, and all politicians who back this are wrong about this. And
well, do you think if there were retaliation, would whether it's a military target or civilian targets, as Iran has attempted, again, it's a simple matter of, you know, always luck and, of course, the help of the Iron Dome that Israel has developed with American expertise and financing, and also the help of Western allies like the UK, US and France, and indeed, interestingly, Jordan, that prevented mass loss of life under that drone attack. But will the West, will countries like the US, Joe Biden having said, take the win? I don't think America would take the win if such an attack had been launched on them by a near neighbour.
I was puzzled by Biden's language, not for the first time. but call this a win, it's peculiar. There was a lot of briefing going on that somehow Israel showed that Iran couldn't get to it in that extent because they succeeded in knocking out most of these with some help. But remember, they fired 100 ballistic missiles at Israel. It's not just a case of some drones. No. These were significant weapons with very great capacity to cause damage and harm on a much wider scale than was originally anticipated. All those people in the media saying, oh, well, you know, it won't be a big response from Iran because they don't have the capability. They fired the kitchen sink at Israel, and Israel's defense systems were capable and knocked out all but, as far as I understand it, one that actually managed to hit, cause some damage. And, of course, one poor child is now in deep difficulty. So, you know, this was an assault on the territorial right of Israel. When it comes to the attack on the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps generals that were in Syria at the time, in what was meant to be the annex to a embassy building. Of course, you know, it's up to the state to declare whether they have diplomatic rights over those buildings. Doesn't mean to say they don't use them for plotting and planning. And that's one of the big problems. The IRGC is heavily involved in controlling Hamas, as you've heard, the Houthi and also Hezbollah, and planning all of what's going on in Gaza. So, you know, these, in a way, they are already at war. That's the peculiarity of this, because it's a proxy war by Iran, which has now become a direct war. So the idea that somehow you stop because you won, I think Israel will make their own decisions about that. Certainly, I don't want this to escalate to a degree that becomes uncontrollable. But certainly, we have a major problem in Iran.
Yeah.
Iran,
and there's no doubt at all that Britain and America and any other country would be expected and not considered to be warmongering to retaliate at such an escalating attack by Iran. Do you think, just finally, very briefly, if you, because I so much I want to talk to you about, do you think that the West is going to have enough backbone to stand behind Israel as our ally in the Middle East?
Well, I was pleased that we were involved in trying to stop harm. And we said, why are we shooting down drones? Well, drones being fired across other people's territory have to be destroyed because you've no idea what they're aimed at. They could have been aimed at British bases, etc. So tackling those is very important. But the reality is that we've got to understand this, that Iran is a threat to everybody in the Middle East. Saudi has been at war with Iran. They've only normalized, in inverted commas, their relationship recently. But Iran is linked to China, Russia, North Korea. It's part of that ghastly axis of totalitarian states, and it foments revolution in even the other Arab countries. So this is not an anti-Islam thing. This is hugely about Iran's determination to dominate in the Middle East, and they use proxies to undermine all the other states as well, which is why, you know, Jordan, for example, took out these drones as well, because they are a threat to Jordan.
Indeed. Let's move on, though, to events closer to home that the government would hope were happening further away from home, and that is the Rwanda policy. The Safety of Rwanda Bill returns to the House of Commons today. There'll be votes on it. No doubt it will go straight through. There might be a few amendments here and there. Back to the Lords, back again, and then expected to become law by Friday. Even in the event of it becoming law, we're looking at flights not taking off until June. We know that Care for Calais and other charities recruiting volunteers to try and mount legal challenges. We've also discovered that the cost, according to Home Office documents, of this entire policy is already looking at 5 billion quid, looking at 1.8 million per Rwanda channel migrant who would actually ever be sent there. And we've also seen some documents suggesting that under Suella Braverman's Home Office tenure, that actually they were looking at pretty much every other country under the sun as somewhere else to send people, including the lovely holiday destination I can highly recommend of Costa Rica, although nothing has been agreed. Do you think anyone is ever going to get on a flight to Rwanda? And B, is that going to deter channel migrants?
Well, of course, all of this is about deterrence. It's about deterring those who spend, by the way, thousands of pounds to get into rickety, terrible boats and risk the chance of dying, which many have done, and particularly young children, to cross over to the UK. And what you're trying to say to them through this programme is, look, it's simply not worth doing that, because at the end of it all, you'll spend all that money, you'll risk death, and then there's a very strong probability that you will then be sent somewhere else that will make it even more difficult for you to cross. So deterrence is what this is about. If this was to have to become a kind of constant, you know, four flights a day, shipping people out.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But then the program wouldn't have worked. It's about deterrence. It's about saying you run the risk now, the added risk, that you won't even be allowed to settle in the UK or have your case dealt with in the UK. It'll have to be dealt with in a country many thousands of miles away. So deterrence is critical to this program. So the idea about future costs and programming are not set against the reality that if the first few flights don't deter those crossing, then the program itself won't have succeeded. But, you know, I ask people who say that they want to stop this, what else are you going to do? Because this idea, there's a policy that I see the Labour talking about, they're going to get cozy with the European Union and France, and they'll come to some idea. I have to tell you, there's a revolt going on in the European Union themselves over their demand to various countries to share migrants from places like Italy, and they're refusing to do it. Poland and the other countries in Eastern Europe particularly, but also, you know, the Germans and others are determined that they're not going to put up with this. So do we really think that European countries are going to somehow say, but we'll do a special case for the UK? No, they won't. We already pay the French huge sums of money to stop them and work with them. I don't know what more they think we're going to do. The answer is the only chance we've got is deterrence, and deterrence in the European Union as well against them crossing. And this is critical because it's really risking life and limb for the off chance that you'll be able to settle here and have a case dealt with that allows you to stay permanently. And that's what is going on, and deterrence is what this is about.
Indeed. I mean, again, I can't see it ever actually happening in terms of on a scale where it would be a deterrent. You're going to be playing the odds going across the channel. You're playing the odds of the chances of being sent to Rwanda and just starting the whole process all over again. Sri, let's also talk about what's going on in terms of benefits Britain. Lots of stories in recent months emerging about a huge swathe of people who just are not working, people of working age who are not working, and increasing concern about the number of people who are claiming some sort of ill health, not working. Latest figures showing that the number of benefit claimants out of work because of ill health has doubled in recent years to nearly 2.3 million people. And this comes as the Resolution Foundation think tank have warned that universal credit payments, universal credit, of course, being the benefits policy that you brought into office when you were Work and Pensions Secretary, could end up costing the taxpayer, wait for it, £86 billion a year by 2028. Now, that's sort of like, what, just roughly half what we're spending on the NHS as well? I mean, these are huge sums of money, huge number of people not working. Are all these people, well, an awful lot of these people, are they swinging the lead? Have we just made it too easy for people to claim mental health problems, stress, all of that to stop people working? Is there something going on that we need to know about?
Well, it's worth reminding that when Universal Credit arrived and when I was there and when we left, it actually had reduced the number of workless households to the lowest level since the records began. So there was a huge success story prior to COVID. What's right at the heart of this is what happened during COVID. Yep. And the government, in their determination, therefore, to cover everybody and make sure nobody was left out, Universal Credit took on 2 million people, I think, in the course of the first 3 to 4 weeks. And, of course, bear in mind that this was the case, they lifted all of the sanctions and difficult, you know, areas that would have tightened the process of getting on to that. So that was all lifted, opened the door to a lot of people coming on. And then you've had the after effects of COVID, which is many people now, in the course of that process, being out of work, not working, as it were, not having a purpose to their lives. There are a lot of mental health problems that have erupted. Now, we know that mental health make up about 60% of the new claims. And we know that of those, about 60% of those are in fact depression and anxiety. Now, depression and anxiety are very treatable conditions. And therefore, what's required is a much more aggressive process of treating those who declare depression and anxiety. And of course, what's the number one best treatment for depression and anxiety? It's work. Yeah. And therefore, you know, one of the reasons many of these people are getting worse is because they're out of work. So we need to make sure there's plenty of jobs around that people take on, and we work with them to get them up the hours to ensure with the same time they get proper counselling and help and support. Now, that's all very doable, but the crisis has come directly out of the back of the COVID saga, and that now needs to be dealt with. But we can certainly... We did a poll at the Centre for Social Justice recently, which we showed that so many of these could be got back into work. Over 700,000 those who are claiming sickness benefit want to work. But the trouble is, they say, it gets in the difficulties of getting into work and holding work are there. And those things can be tackled quite simply and quite quickly. And I've been asking the government to do that. Okay. We did it before COVID. They relaxed all of those checks. It's possible to get back to that and make getting them into a health treatment, which it is.
Indeed. We're going to be talking to that think tank in just a couple of moments. Surinder Doug-Smith, really good to talk to you, former Conservative Party leader. Thank you for that. Also, former Welcome Pension Secretary. With me is commentator Sam Armstrong. So just briefly, just on that that benefits issue, actually, it is. There's no doubt at all. God, he was castigated when he was in office by so many on the left. But actually, he did achieve his changes in universal credit to actually get more people back in work by tapering off the sort of the hit. You know, if you went back into work, you lost all these other benefits, and making it easier for people to get back into the world of work is interesting. You know, Labour actually ended up signing up to it and saying that they wouldn't change it, which tells you it has been a success. But there's no doubt lockdowns absolutely threw away all of that. But people are still, I mean, again, you know, you've got depression, anxiety. The idea that in the Western country that we've got more people sick now than we had 20 years ago is absurd.
Yeah, we can all tell exactly what's going on. But as Ian says, actually, the single best cure to depression, anxiety, in fact, to a whole plethora of mental health conditions, is good habits, healthy work.
Routine, getting up in the morning, having a purpose to your day.
And paying people not to work because they claim these diseases is not compassionate.
No.
It's damning them to a life of depression, anxiety, misery and unhappiness. It's wrong. It's morally wrong to do it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you very much indeed. Now, today we're asking you, though, about Israel. They vowed revenge after Iran's missile and drone attackers. World leaders urge restraint. But what's your reaction? You can call 0344-499-1000. Text 87222. Get in touch on X at Talk TV as well. Gordon says it was a setup for Iran to appear to save face. They notified the US and neighbouring countries well in advance. They did give a couple of days' notice that they were going to do this, and Iran knew they would be mostly intercepted. Matt says, so we'll be in World War III in no time then. And Jan says, Israel should get rid of that warmonger Netanyahu. He's dangerous. I think an awful lot of people in Israel would like to get rid of Netanyahu.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast. Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you. Harder, older, Hartley Brewer. The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.